Hello, everyone. This is Now I See a Person Institute. And today we were going to talk about process ethics. This is something that I came across through Dr. Susan Swim. And I was just going to ask you, Susan, could you let the listeners know what process ethics is?
Yes.
Why it's so effective in the work that we do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So my name is Dr. Susan Swim, and I'm on the phone with David Abramovich, and all three of us are faculty at Now I See a Person Institute. And at Now I See a Person Institute, our mission is to help serve and heal populations that have not succeeded in either traditional therapy, medications, hospitalizations, or institutionalizations such as residential care or other types of venues where people have to leave their home environment for long periods of time. And the other type of work that we have found very helpful is severe family conflict. And so we get a lot of referrals either with clients who have not succeeded in past therapeutic endeavors or with severe family conflict. And often that leads to a lot of legal endeavors that are kind of destroying everybody that's part of the endeavors. So one of the things that we were thinking about this morning that would be important to talk about and how we approach the work that we do is process ethics. And process ethics was something that we came up with probably at least 20 years ago. And that is, what is the right and good for each client coming into therapy? And it really is the cornerstone of the type of work that we do. So you can go to our website and read a little bit more about process ethics, but the main components are relational connectedness, full presence, and sacred conversations. And so the relational connectedness is that relationship that you have with your client. And we work as a team of therapists with our clients. And how do we have transparent and client-led relationships and conversations that help them to find transformation? And this leads to eventually what we call sacred conversations. And it's not trying to make the conversation spiritual or a nature of religion, but that each utterances, each conversations that clients have, sometimes they've never spoken aloud before, are sacred to them. And so how do we allow the space for those conversations to be heard and to be honored as they're being heard? So David, maybe you would like to talk a little bit about your ideas on what process ethics are and how they guide you in your sessions.
I feel process ethics is, I look at it from a very simple point of view, is by putting myself in the client's shoes, how would I want to be treated? How would I want them to treat me or honor me in my voice while I'm there? And the first thing that I'd want would be for me to trust them, for us to form an alliance that's ironclad, an alliance that is so strong that nothing's off the table. So once that's established, then transparency is easy, and therapy becomes easy, and conversations flow naturally. And we do have sacred conversations, and it's strange because the conversations are very sacred, in the sense that we're honoring their story and their expertise in their life, yet it also flows naturally. So there's not a serious, sad component to it, like in most therapy. It's just a normal conversation about things that they haven't talked about before. And that process really makes their story valid and normal. and digestible to them. And then once it becomes digestible to them, then they're able to move on from the extreme trauma that they've been talking about, or been not even talking about, that they've been living with for so long. And once it becomes a normal part of their dialogue, it's not it doesn't hold them back anymore, and they're able to open themselves up to hope and opportunities that were always in front of them, but they never saw it before.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things I was thinking when you were talking is that they come in with these narratives of trauma, and there's no hope because either how they've tried to work through the trauma in the past, either their own with so many different types of, you know, I was talking to someone today and they were talking about self-help books, and then they had tried therapy, and they tried other types of things. And sometimes when we do, unfortunately, aren't able to talk maybe or have those types of relationships, those types of conversations that you were talking about do not evolve. And one of the things I think happens with the type of theoretical orientation that we use, as well as the use of the horses and the ranch, and that's a whole another type of conversation, that those relationships develop very, very quickly. And, you know, I think that there's a lot of research on therapy with horses or animal therapy. And one of the things that you see is that people that come out and they might be frightened, or they're skeptical, they've had therapy before, or how could things change? And even on that first session, they come in and things change and they're able to leave with hope. And I think, Emma, one of the things that you coined in the past was that they kind of leave their problems while they're walking onto the ranch. Is that right, Emma?
Yeah, I always got the feeling that people, I mean, when you go into traditional therapy sessions, you know, therapists tend to focus on the person, and that you're very aware that you're there for a particular issue. Whereas the horses take the focus away from the person. So it's kind of that it creates this neutral space for everybody, you know, that all the pressure isn't not pressure, but the focus isn't on the person, and we're all there as people, and you know, we're there with our boots and our mm-hmm. our check shirts, and you know, petting and loving on the horses, and some mutual.
Well, we're able to be engaging in these conversations.
Yeah,
that leads to what we call extraordinarily normal. And the extraordinarily normal part is that people come in with many histories of trauma and so many histories of almost not being able to survive that trauma. And they leave completely transformed. And to learn more about this, we would like to be able to do this more frequently, to introduce you to the ideas at Now I See a Person Institute.